Welcome to Glow Time Views, a podcast powered by Quick Loans Online that helps you with your financial and professional journey in 5 fast questions. We know that you're always busy during the day, and we are here to sum up all you need to know to accelerate your career, growth, and money mindset. Hello everyone, I am Matthew, your Glow representative. In our episode today, we will tackle a very important topic that can help you reach your monetary goals. Ever heard of the saying, make your money work for you? With our guest today, we will learn the different ways we can grow our money based on our risk appetite and our resources. Our questions today will revolve around learning various investment profiles so that our listeners can know their next best step in improving their financial health. Today, we welcome Mr. Horeb Dagandan of AIA Philippines. Horeb is a Filipino academician and wealth portfolio manager. He finished his undergraduate studies at the University of the Philippines, cum laude GWA, in 2012. He graduated with a master's degree in political science with a magna cum laude GWA. He specializes in international trade and economics of development. He was given a scholarship in South Korea twice from the ASEAN DJU Exchange Student Program and Korea Government CUK Postgraduate Program. He is currently affiliated with AIA Philam Life for the past 10 years as a unit manager and has achieved $1 million roundtable qualification in his career. He is also a market analyst for high net worth families and corporations in the Philippines. He loves learning new languages and champions financial literacy in action whenever there is an opportunity. With over 10 years of experience and 2 awards to his name, his work at AIA continues to prove his excellence in the field. Built over 70 years ago, previously known as Philam Life, AIA has already helped millions of individuals through its nurturing aid. Welcome, Horeb. How are you doing today?
Hi, Matthew. I'm good. Thank you for asking. How's your day today? It's almost clock out time, 5 p.m. Yeah. Still, we have to talk. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too. Well, I'm doing good today. It's work day.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's our pleasure actually to have you today and for our listeners to learn from you and also grow from this podcast that we have today, right? So it's now time to answer our Glow Time Cues. Are you ready, Mr. Horeb?
Yes, I'm ready. After reading those good things about me, I think it was very generous of you. So we can start.
Okay.
Fire away.
Okay. So for our first question, why is it important for someone to know their profile before investing?
It's very important to know your profile before you start investing. You know, as everything, all things in life, we have to start with a plan. And with investing, it's highly personal, diba, Matthew? It has to start with yourself. It has to start by asking questions that are linked to your age, to your time horizon, to your risk appetite. Later, we'll delve more. We'll dig deeper into those questions. But success in investing primarily starts with asking these essential questions. So I think identifying or profiling yourself, working with a financial consultant, or even just talking with a friend or with your parents on what you want to achieve, it's indispensable as part of financial planning.
Yeah. All right. So that will be a good start, because for our next question, how can you identify your profile? Is there a test for this?
There are no tests. I think there are, you know, if you just Google profile, investing profile, I think you'll come up with a battery of questions. But when I talk with my friends or work with my clients, I try to make things simpler, reducing those battery of tests into just 4. So Matthew, you can remember try to remember this acronym, or these four letters called SORT, or SORT for short, because we want to sort our lives as early as we can. We want to achieve financial independence. We want not to become, a liability to people around us. So let's start sorting our lives. So one of the questions is your personal situation. So that's letter S. Right. So each situation is different. Matthew and I were raised in different settings and so on and so forth. And I don't want to paint in broad strokes or in generalities our guests, who they are, or our listeners rather. So I suggest asking these questions instead. So you can bring out your pen and paper if you want to take down notes. For number one, how long will you or your family last if suddenly your income stops today? Mm-hmm. Are you going to last for 1 year, Matthew? Or is your family going to last for 2 years, even if your income stops all of a sudden? Number two, do you have dependents? How much is your allocated emergency fund for each of them if ever things turn sour? We are in the midst of a lot of uncertainties these days with Ukraine, Russia, inflation, everything sounds utterly dark and gloomy. So we have to understand our current context, especially if we have plenty of dependents. Yeah. Number three, if you get sick or disabled, who will shoulder your continuing on or your carrying on? Are you going to transfer the risk to your spouse, to your children, or are you going to exhaust your salary that you worked hard for 10 years just to pay your future doctor? Or do you have an insurance that will do that for you? Number four, how indispensable are you in the company? So I heard, Matthew, that you're very treasured in the company, in Clo.
Well, hopefully.
Right. I hope we can establish that sense of becoming indispensable. But no one is. Just to be truthful about it. Yeah, how valuable are our life skills? So maybe that's a better question. So if in any given circumstance, like during the pandemic, people got laid off, can they carry on generating money by using their life skills? Right? If you have indispensable life skills, then you can tend to allocate more to your investments because you're not very much dependent on a single stream of income. How many life skills do you have, Matthew? Do you think key life skills? Digital art or accounting consultancy, Excel sheets?
Yeah, I have fundamental skills with Excel. Well, I can sell. I think that's a really big thing. If you can sell anything, right? Or at least persuade other people believing in something. Especially if you believe into it. For example, Clo, it helps people during these uncertainties that you've mentioned, most especially right now. We have lots of uncertainties. So you've mentioned S, which is the situation in one's life. Correct me if I'm wrong. Not all can afford a nice insurance coverage all at the same time. But I think providing these people that cannot afford that access to the luxury of insurance or the privilege of having an insurance, providing them financial capability through other employee benefits like Clo can empower them to these uncertain times that we have.
That's so good. So Clo does offer that kind of service. I think more and more Filipinos would benefit from that service that Clo does.
Yeah, actually, that's what we are seeing right now. We're helping continuously other Filipinos, well, in this generation. So, yeah.
Right. So, number five, do you see any major changes in your life stage in the coming years? Are you going to retire already? Are you going to have your third child? Are you going to build a house? Are you going to migrate to another country? So, you have to know your situation in terms of the phase in your life, where you are at the moment, or not in the moment, in the next few years. And number six, if you want to invest, of course, and your primary concern is food on the table, putting meals on the table, you might not have that extra income to allocate to investing. So maybe you can also think about your racket or your moonlighting, your side job, or maybe Clo can help out in expanding your income stream? So we can reflect on these questions, because only ourselves, only you can know the answer if you have investable money left. But you know, there's a danger of actually not thinking about investing, especially if you have the capability. Ask me what's the risk of not investing, especially if you're able.
If you're not able to have that luxury right now, what's the big risk entailed with it?
Yeah, thank you for asking. Yeah, your future self might be poor. You know, if you're finding it difficult at the moment to make ways today while you're able, then the question for you is, what makes you think that you can be better off in your advanced stage when opportunities are more scarce? Going back again, at this present moment when you can, you're finding it difficult to improve. So let's improve and strive and work hard to have that investment capability for generative income as early as we can. So let's balance today and the future. So ask these honest questions. So I think, Matthew, we can move to the next letter. It's letter O of S-O-R-T or SORT, and it stands for objectives. You know, everything about investing has to be anchored on not just who we are, but also what we want to achieve. We can start backwards connecting the dots. So here we're talking about money. We know that money is a tool to achieve or obtain something. What do you want to get in life? You know, it's not the end all and be all. So these questions might help. Number one, do you have an emergency fund? It's a cliche question, but it's very essential.
Correct.
Next would be, are you planning for your retirement or your children's education? Or are you preparing for your parents' future emergency costs? Now it's a tough thing to, you know, to save for future emergency costs. So if you can plan with protection, that would really work out well for you. Another question would be something close to my heart, which is living on interest. I mean, who doesn't want to live on interest? Like, you're just being a couch potato. Of course, after years of working really hard and smart, and then just, you know, watch Netflix or write in your diary, receive interest income every month. Like, Matthew, how much do you want to receive monthly capital income? I want to get 250,000 a month capital income.
Yeah, I was about to answer 1 million.
1 million a month capital income. Then you should have a business, right? So yeah. That's another objective. Do you want to have a business for you to receive capital income of 1 million? In my case, I'm not a big spender. I live a Zen life. You know, want not, need not. So for me, 250,000 a month is good. So my investment strategy for the next 15 years, hopefully shorter, would enable me to get 250,000 monthly through my existing investment returns. So I think each of these questions that I mentioned entail unique investment strategies that might be very new to you, or you might not know even about these. So you can work with an experienced financial advisor for the achievement of your objectives.
Also known as my wife.
Right, you can work out with your spouse as well, right? Or your children.
My wife is a financial advisor. That's why I brought her around. Anyway, enough of me.
The third, age and time horizon. I don't want to reveal our age, Matthew, so let's keep it a secret. we look teenagers naman, so. We don't have filters on Zoom. So in any case, young people like us can afford to assume more risks as we can bounce back from, you know, downsides. We can recover from possible losses, right? Also, we don't have a lot of obligations, or the adulting that we exercise is not that yet intense. You know, younger people also have more disposable income. On the flip side, if you're in your more advanced and wiser age, you can focus on your capital preservation, for one. You can focus on your cash flow and on beating inflation. I think if you're in your late 50s, 60s, you shouldn't be exposing a lot of your capital to speculative assets. It must be about capital preservation, because you don't get another shot at being young again. So if you're in your 20s, you know, just invest a lot. I invest in crypto, invest in tech stocks that solve the world's problems, like Tesla, Google, Amazon, you know, genomic stocks. All these are very risky because they pay off in the distant future. Distant could be 5, 10, 15 years. But when they do, it's going to give you the biggest bang for your buck. So if you're young, start now. Mm-hmm. Right. And the last letter in SORT is, I think I inverted it. T is the last. So R should be the third, right? So R is risk. So we have situation, we have objectives. Yeah. The third should be risk. Risk must be, we must understand the risks involved. I think the easiest way to frame this is the risk-reward ratio. The higher the risk, of course, the higher the reward. But, you know, many Filipinos typically chase high returns. I hear like that, Matthew. But,
not
you know,
really.
Not really. That's good.
Not really.
Yeah. Because when you chase high returns, you know, double your money in 30 days, then you might, you know, end up in a trap or ending up
correct.
In a scam, right? Get, you know, when you gain money quickly, you also lose it easily. So risks must be balanced. I actually have a simple portfolio that our listeners can take into consideration when building their investment basket. Let's wrap the four acronyms. It's S-O-R-T, SORT.
SORT.
Right, yeah. So if you were able to answer as honestly as you can those questions, then you can profile yourself into any of these three categories. Number one, are you a conservative investor? Are you number two, a balanced? Or number three, an aggressive investor? There's no one correct type. It all depends on your anchors, S-O-R-T. Do you want to know which assets you can buy in the stock market, in other, you know, financial markets, if you're a conservative investor, Matthew?
Yeah, I would love to.
Okay, so again, bring out your pen and paper if you've already kept them, because you can write down the percentages, what assets or ticker symbols you can consider. This is not financial advice, right, Matthew? So I might lose my license, but you can simply take into consideration these things. So number one, if you're a beginner investor, or if you're a retiree or near close to retiring, then you can consider putting 40% of your investable assets or investable money into index funds.
Okay.
You can write down SPY, that's a symbol that you can buy, SPY or QQQ. QQQ, SPY, they represent, in simple terms, they represent the top 500 companies in the US. So buying SPY for just $10, that's the minimum, $10, you're already invested and diversified in the top 500 companies in the US. So you can put 40% in indices, another 40% in your savings and bonds, although bond returns these days, they're not really good, you know, 3%, 2.5%.
Yeah, but you because get of the interest rate.
You can protect your capital through investing in bonds. Another suggestion if you're living in the Philippines is consider MP2. Mm-hmm. The dividends from MP2 range from 4 to 7%. Sometimes it can go as high as 8%. But it's dividend, so it's there's no guaranteed return, right? And the last 20% you can allocate to dividend ETFs. So you can receive dividends. HDV. HDV is the four high dividend ETF. You can buy it for $10. It gives 3.97%. Let me open my notes. I might get the figures wrong. Another ETF is called SPHD. Giving 4.29%. And the last tip I have for, not tip, something to consider for all of you is called VTIP, 6.24%. So if you want to learn more, then, you know, just keep in touch, or, you know, PM Matthew, PM, reach out to Chloe so you can get in touch with me for all of these information, right? So 6.24 this year is high, don't you agree?
6.24 is not bad, most especially how turbulent or how volatile the market is right now, not just locally but also in the global setting. I agree, 6.24, not bad of a return for an investor.
Right. Okay, so let's move to the second to the last, a balanced investor. So these are you know, the average men and women, not in terms of skills, you know, but people who are not very expert in the field, not there yet, and not very beginner. It also offers the best risk-reward ratio. So you can put your money, if you're a balanced investor, 50% in indices, 30% in dividend stocks. And this time it's dividend stocks, not dividend ETFs, like I mentioned before. Examples of dividend-paying stocks are BlackRock, 3%, Walgreens, 5.73%, Johnson & Johnson, 2.64%, and Realty Income Corp, 4.90%. The last 10% you can put in digital assets. I like staking because it allows for passive income, although there's no such thing as passive income because you work before you can have that capital, right? So we can call it capital income instead. So staking at 4 to 17%. Staking your Cardano or your ADA tokens, or staking your Polkadot or DOT tokens, Ethereum. The staking rewards range from 4 to 17%. You are given additional tokens as interest or staking rewards, and you can convert those interest or staking rewards into dollars on different crypto platforms. You can also participate in liquidity pools, offering 10% to 50% annually. That's why you're allocating only 10% to digital assets if you're a balanced investor, because a while ago, we discussed risk-reward ratio, high risk, high rewards, right? NFTs, if you're familiar, you can also put some 10% into those. And lastly, for the last 10%, you can put that amount into savings and bonds. Lastly, if you're an aggressive investor, of course, you have to sacrifice liquidity for growth. In Tagalog, there's a term called ipit, na ipit ang investment. You can't sell your investment because you bought at an expensive price and you cannot exit the market and sell for a loss. So aggressive investors technically sacrifice liquidity because they want growth. And we also, because I'm an aggressive investor, we also observe and accept that we have to view this the longest possible horizon that we can stomach. So your stomach must be iron, made of iron. So you can put 40% in digital assets. In my case, I have more. I have a higher, or a bigger rather, a bigger allocation in digital assets. And 40% in tech assets, tech stocks, genomic stocks, and ETFs like ARKK, SOXL, XLK, and ARKG. You can also consider other stocks, individual stocks like Tesla, Apple, Google, right? So that's for aggressive investing. 20% can go to crypto investments. Sorry, not crypto investments. 40% go to crypto investments or digital assets. The last 20% goes to index, QQQ, SPY. Yeah.
Just for the safety of it, let's put something on the index. Okay.
So that's it for me.
That's a nice split.
From me.
Or three different personalities.
Yeah.
If you don't mind me asking, Oreb, where are you currently trading these investments? What platforms are you using?
I invest in global markets because global markets are more liquid. I use IBKR, Alpaca, and eToro.
Those are applications, right?
Yes, those are digital platforms. We can participate even if we're not, you know, US citizens, or even if we're here, it's not decentralized. Its interface is gamified, so people can easily know how to navigate those websites or apps. It's very easy. Just, you know, try to open a demo account.
Very straightforward on how you, well, you can trade even crypto on those, or that would actually capture the different assets you're currently trading as of the moment, those three platforms?
Most of them focus on stocks, ETFs, and indices. Alpaca and eToro do have cryptocurrencies, but they don't offer NFTs. So if people would want to explore digital assets, the broad array of digital assets, they can consider Binance or FTX.
All right. Thank you for sharing those. And hopefully our listeners would now know how to identify what's their current situation, right? That is the first question that they would need to ask. From there, they can assess what type of risk appetite they currently can handle, right? For our third question, what are the different investors' profiles, and can you describe how they differ from each other? So I believe, Oreb, you were able to touch base on these three profiles that you've mentioned, aggressive, conservative, and balanced, earlier. Are there anything that you would like to add on the details that you have shared with us?
I think a simple gauge or a simple question you can ask yourself is, if I put money here, can I sleep at night? soundly sleep at night. So if your answer is yes, I can sleep for 8 hours and not, you know, get nightmares, then go for it. Invest in crypto, for instance.
Okay, that's interesting, because you're currently an aggressive investor. So I believe money's not a problem right now. Money multiplies for you.
Used to be, not at this current economic condition. You know, everyone is struggling with money these days.
I agree with
not
that.
More than others, of course.
Very volatile market that we have. Uh-huh. Now I move forward on the fourth question. What type of investment is suited for each profile? Again, going back to the earlier discussion, I believe you were able to discuss these profiles already and how they differ. But would you want to add anything for an aggressive, whether our listeners are aggressive, are conservative, or a balanced type of investor? Do you want to share anything? Were you able to be part of the balanced community, conservative community, and right now being part of the aggressive community of investors? Are there any tips also?
I've been very aggressive since I was young. You know, Pogs and Tex?
Yeah.
I used to play Pogs when I was young, and I learned how to manage my risk using...
All in?
Sometimes we do. No, I'm just kidding. Sometimes I bet half. No, if I know I can recover. So there are categories of investment assets that I mentioned a while ago, and let me just mention for the sake of our audience. Number one, bonds and savings, conservative. We have stocks and ETFs, balanced, and we have digital assets towards the more aggressive spectrum. So those are the three categories.
All right. Do you go to the casino for it, if you don't mind me asking?
No, not
that type of risk.
No. Only the smart type.
All right. Gotcha. So as we head on to the last question, when is the right time to invest? Does it have anything to do with age or market condition? So I believe you were able to touch base on this earlier with the age, especially when you discussed the acronym of SORT. When is the right time to invest, Oreb, for you?
As long as you're capable, if your income allows you to, the right time to invest is now, provided you have the capability, and as a bonus, if you can work with a financial consultant, so you can already avoid the common pitfalls of investing. So it's an urgent thing. It's actually even a biblical command. Did you know that, Matthew?
Oh, that one I'm not aware.
There's a parable.
Yeah.
Sure. there's a parable of the talents, you know, when the master had to go on a travel or a journey, he left his attendants, I think, resources. The first and third attendants were able to grow the money given to them or entrusted to them. The third, he just buried the money, did not grow it for fear of losing it. And at the end of the day, when the master returned, the master told him to just return the money to him because he wasn't a good custodian. So we are called to invest, to grow resources that are entrusted to us. Otherwise, 100% it will be lost or taken away from you.
Yeah, wow. What a way to cap off our 5 questions with the parable from the Bible, which book, by the way, I believe, in terms of multiplying our talents, or whether it be talents or our current money. Thank you, Horeb, for answering our questions today and helping us learn the significance of knowing our investment profile. Indeed, investing is truly critical in having a robust financial profile. Again, it is an honor to have you here today. And we hope our listeners were able to pick up something from our fruitful discussion that they may apply in the future. For companies who are interested, where can they find you and connect with AIA?
Again, thanks for having me. To our listeners, feel free to attend close future sessions. You'll learn a lot of things. You can reach me, guys, by shooting an email. Just type Horeb, H-O-R-E-B, E-L-L-I-O-T, Horeb Elliott at yahoo.com, or you can check out my link tree. It's linktr.ee/iupthink, I-U-P-think. There.
All right. Thank you for sharing that, Horeb. And that was the 8th episode of Glow Time Cues. Don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube or follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts to be the first to know when the episodes drop. Check out our episodes on personal finance and career growth, featuring some of the country's industry leaders. For those who are curious about Quick Loans Online or want to send in questions related to career and finance, just send us a message on our social media pages on Facebook at www.facebook.com/QLOPhilippines. That is QLO Philippines. And on LinkedIn, just search us using QLO or Quick Loans Online. See you guys on the next episode for more answers to your cues. This podcast is powered by QLO and Passion Fruit Marketing Collaborations.